This week's podcast is sponsored by Whitney Antiques, an antique shop in the heart of Oxfordshire, specialising in historic needlework. If you would like to know more about Whitney Antiques, check out their website, www.whitneyantiques.com. Hello and welcome back to Unearth the Past, a family history and genealogy podcast presented by me, Dr. Michaela Hume. So today we are joined not by one, but by two very special guests, Mitchell Halliday and his lovely mum, Jack. Now, Mitchell is one of the world's best makeup artists. He boasts over 1 million followers on Instagram and over 730,000 followers on TikTok and over 18.8 million likes. Wow. In 2020, he created his own makeup brand called Made by Mitchell, which has taken the world by storm. His iconic blush has become a staple in makeup bags across the globe. In 2023, Made by Mitchell broke a TikTok record when it made $2 million in sales in just a week. His beauty brand is praised for being all-inclusive and it's even reached Hollywood with celebrities such as Megan Fox wearing the products. Mitch and Jack, welcome to the podcast. Mitch, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for having me and me lovely mum. I'm excited for today, but I know my mum's nervous.
Yeah,
But yeah, I'm excited to... This is something that I have always found so fascinating, but I've never really even known where to go for it. So when I met you through work, actually, didn't I?
You did.
And yeah, it's been a bit of a long time coming. It's going to be whatever we find out today is just going to be a positive in every way. Because I think for my mum as well, which I don't know if you're going to go into this, but like my mum has so many unanswered questions from her entire life. How old are you now?
60 soon.
No, are you not 60 already?
No, 16.
I swear you are 60.
The big 60, remember.
So I was interested in when we started looking into your family tree to think, where do you get... Where does Mitch come from?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So I know you are obviously creative. I mean, the things you can do, I imagine not only on the face, but with a paintbrush is unreal. I also know that you are a fantastic singer.
Yeah, I did used to.
He says used to. He really should do more. He has got the most amazing voice. So when I was trying to find your creative gene, I didn't have to go back that far.
Okay.
I only had to go back from your dad a couple of generations till I found that creative gene. And that is with your great-great-granddad, Edgar Percy Halliday. Now, I'm going to pass you the family tree. If you just follow the top line, you will see where he sort of sits in your tree.
Okay.
And if you can see, he's just there, Mitch. So, right. And that's you that sort of highlighted him.
Okay. So we've got Mitchell Peter Halliday, James Halliday.
We've got your dad.
Peter Halliday.
Granddad.
That's Joan, my Queen Joan.
Arthur
Shemida.
Shemida.
What is that name?
I'll get back to you. We're going to head back on that. But we're going to go to Edgar.
Halliday and then Edgar Percy Halliday. Oh my God. That's insane. It's insane.
I've traced the Hallidays right back up until the 18th century.
Yeah.
Wow. Right?
Wow.
It's exciting.
In 1911, we have what's called the census. And I found Edgar on the census. And I just want to show you that record. And I don't know if you can just read it out for me, if that's all right. If you just... I'm hoping you can read this handwriting. I can help you out if you can't. So if you just follow it across, that's Edgar, his wife, everybody living in the house. And I just want you to have a look at what he's doing for a job.
God, what's going on to happen? Wait, so Edgar Head.
So he's head of the household. Head of that.
So this is what it used to say on household, like the head. Age of males, 39. He's married.
Yep.
Music hall artist.
What does that mean? Music hall artist.
He was a performer.
Wow. Okay.
And he travelled around the country performing and was at the top of his game.
Oh my God.
Oh my days. That's crazy. He's been into singing.
But if you look at where his kids are born, they're born all over the country.
Because, okay.
And that's because him and his wife
travelled.
We're travelling.
Are travelling around performing on the stage at wow. all the local theatres.
That's crazy.
What? So, God. Edgar Percy Halliday, Mitch's great-great-great-grandfather, was born in London in 1873. By the age of 18, Edgar had his own business as a self-employed music teacher, whilst also performing as a variety artist in music halls across London. Music halls grew out of old coffee houses and taverns during the early 19th century. By the 1850s, they'd become known for their variety acts and rowdy audiences. Variety artists like Edgar entertained the crowds with catchy songs, dance routines, and comedy sketches, often performing at several theatres in one night. By the time he was 21, Edgar had left London and was touring the country. It was whilst on tour in the Northwest that he met Mitchell's three times great-grandmother Elizabeth Gray, who was also a variety artist from Lancaster. The pair performed across the region, including a long stint in Blackpool, and remained on tour until 1910 when they settled in Manchester. Music hall artists were the celebrities of their era. However, following World War I, music halls began to decline in popularity, with audiences now flocking to the cinema to watch actors such as Laurel and Hardy and Charlie Chaplin. By 1921, Edgar had retired from the theatre. He died in 1934 and is buried in Southern Cemetery in Manchester.
Wow.
Now, I know that he could play an instrument. I know that he had a good voice.
Okay.
And I know that, you know, he was one of the performers.
Oh, wow.
Of
I mean,
time.
Even that name, Edgar Percy Halliday, like, what a name.
I was able to go back even further than that. I was able to go back to Edgar's parents. And I think the musical gene really sort of stems from them.
Wow. Okay.
His parents, his dad was actually born in Yorkshire.
Okay.
And
that's mad.
But they spent the whole of their lives living in a place called Whitechapel in London.
Yeah, no.
They lived at number 263 Whitechapel Road.
Okay.
And it was a music shop.
Oh, bloody hell.
So they sold musical instruments.
Oh my God, that's insane.
It's crazy that.
That's insane that you have even found all those details.
I know.
That's wild.
It takes a lot, doesn't it?
No, it does. That's really crazy.
So they sold musical instruments. Edgar's parents are called William and Sarah. And when William dies, it's Sarah that takes the shop on.
Okay.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So during this time that they're in Whitechapel, something else is going on. And that's a certain gentleman called Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper? Yeah. Okay.
Your great, 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 great grandmother's shop,
right,
which is on Whitechapel Road, is just in front of where the first Ripper murder happened.
Oh, wow. My God.
So there's a good chance that Jack the Ripper
has been in the shop.
Has been in the coffee shop.
Or has definitely walked past yeah. the front of the shop.
Wow. Oh, my God. Have you That's not watched wild. Jack the Ripper? I love
it. I mean, I've never watched. Well, I will now. I've heard, obviously, about what Jack the Ripper was and what he did, yeah. but that's insane.
It's wild, isn't it?
That's insane.
Jack the Ripper was the name given to a serial killer who was operating in the Whitechapel district of London during 1888. His total number of victims is somewhat up for debate. However, experts think that the murders of five women were all linked. His first victim was 43-year-old Mary Ann Nichols, known as Polly. On the night of her death, she had been drinking at the Frying Pan pub. Upon leaving the pub, she headed to her lodging house. However, because she lacked the fourpence needed for the night, she was turned away. The last known sighting of Polly was just after 2:30 a.m. when she was spotted by a friend. Other than the killer, she was the last person to see her alive. Polly's body was discovered shortly after 3:30 a.m. by a carman, a delivery driver on Bucks Row. Experts believe that Jack the Ripper escaped by running down a narrow thoroughfare at the side of Sarah Halliday's shop. Next door to your ancestor's shop, your great-great-great-grandmother's shop, was where all the Ripper victims were taken and all their inquests were held.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
This is insane. It makes me want to go to the shop.
I know. We need to go to Whitechapel.
That is absolutely crazy. But I find it crazy that they lived in London because for some reason I just felt like I we had on the holiday side, it was all in Scotland.
Scotland.
But I suppose no. that was on Joan's side,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Yeah.
The holidays were not afraid to be different, uh-huh. right? And I see that a bit in you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. absolutely.
Don't
absolutely.
Follow the grain. And they went against the norm, and especially when it came to religion.
Okay.
So...
bit like your dad.
Yeah, so their faith was Moravians.
So what is Moravian?
Now, I had no idea. I had to look it up myself. Mm-hmm. I've never... Look, I come across, obviously, a lot of Roman Catholics in my uh-huh. job.
Yeah.
Church of England, Unitarians, you name it. But I've never worked on a Moravian family tree.
Okay.
The Moravians, the religion itself dates back over 450 years to Prague.
Okay.
And it's basically a religion that focuses on essentials. So they don't really care how you worship or, you know, mm-hmm. they don't care sort of how you do it as long as you're doing it. And they believe in all things love. So they call each other sort of the brothers and sisters mm-hmm. And they really yeah. sort of embrace love. They do a lot of charity work.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they're also very musical.
Oh, well.
So,
I might be wrong here,
but
know.
Is that a bit hippie-ish to it in a sense? Like, because
yeah.
I feel like yeah. that's what my, I feel like we're all just a bunch of hippies, really.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
very much.
Well, that's, that. And that's Moravian.
Moravian.
Moravian. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Never come across that.
No,
faith,
I've never even heard of that.
Faith before.
No. My dad would have probably heard of it, wouldn't he? Because he's.
Probably.
He's so clued up on religions.
But he's very. He's very
not
so
religious
like that.
Himself. But
really?
He's like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
He really is.
And it was just funny that they sort of believe that no matter, you know, you can worship more or less however you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can sort of interpret the Bible however you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As long as you're kind of doing it, it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is quite diverse and it yeah. embraces everybody. So no matter how you practice. Yeah.
yeah. I think it's quite refreshing, yeah. that, isn't it? Yeah. Just like, just as long as you're being good and following yeah. your faith, then what's yeah. really the issue?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I can't wait to tell my dad that.
I know, he'd be well chuffed.
Now, I know the reason that the holidays were quite easy to find to a point is because of this name.
Shemaida.
Yeah. Now, I couldn't find... So we know that's in Edgar's line, right? And we know that his dad has that name as a middle name.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the generation above that does... But I don't quite know where it's come from before that. The only mm-hmm. thing I can assume, it may be something to do with the religion.
Mm-hmm.
We thought like maybe Jewish, but then...
No, so Moravians, that's, yeah, that's what you are in terms of religion.
Yeah, Moravian. Well, have you heard of Shemaida before then?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd never even heard that name before.
Yeah, your dad spoke about Shemaida.
Well.
I'm going to show you a few more documents, if that's all right.
Yeah, I'd love to see. I could listen to this all day.
I know.
So intriguing, isn't it?
A lot to take in, isn't it, yeah. as well?
Edgar Percy Halliday, who we spoke about, we know that he was on the circuit, right? Mm-hmm. That he was on the circuit, he was performing on the stage. He seems to have been very well loved because he was more or less doing this up until he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away in 1934. And as was quite traditional then, people took a little ad out.
Yeah.
So I found him in the newspaper. I found him in the Manchester Evening News.
Oh my God.
this is in 1934. And it's just a tiny, tiny little reference to him in the newspaper.
Holiday. Oh. On March 7th, Edgar Percy, beloved husband of Elizabeth Halliday, 7 Lime Grove, Longsight, Inquiries Broom, Downing Street, at rest. Ah.
That's where your granddad Pete lived Longsight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, I've also got an image for you, an image that I want to show you, Mitch. So, as I've mentioned, I trace the Halliday line right back to the 18th century, and that's with your 5 times great-grandfather, John Halliday,
mm-hmm.
who was from Yorkshire.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, his son was Richard. He was born in 1816 in Yorkshire, so a long time ago.
1816.
His wife was Mary, and they went on to have 5 children. Now, one of those children... was Edgar's dad, William Shemaida Halliday. And I've actually found a picture of William's sister.
Wow.
So William had a sister called Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene?
Didn't you used to say that with something about Magdalene?
Mary Magdalene.
So I'm going to show you a picture of her.
What if you look like her?
So she's just sort of the older one of the two.
Oh my God. That is crazy. And is that her baby?
So, yeah, so that's her son.
Mary Magdalene. And she was Yorkshire as well then?
So she's now living in London in Whitechapel. So they move from Yorkshire and set up a coffee shop.
Right, okay.
Right? So Richard moves moves from Yorkshire to London, sets up a coffee shop. And then William sets up his own coffee shop, which then evolves into the music shop.
Yeah, yeah.
And William is advertising quite a bit in the newspaper. So he's really sort of, he knows how to promote a product.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Well, maybe that's where I get it from.
So he's really using sort of his marketing skills.
Because that would have been the TikTok of the day as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is mad, isn't it?
That is crazy. That is absolutely mental. I wish my dad was here to be
honest. Hello.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, and it will be back in just a minute. But I would like to take the time to talk to you about an organisation that is really close to my heart, and that is The Power of One. The Power of One is a non-profit organisation founded by the fabulous Samantha Hutchinson, which supports women across the world who work in the animal welfare community. There are currently thousands of women across the globe who are fighting to improve the lives of animals and make their communities safer by reducing the spread of disease. They are working really hard to reduce the number of animals on the street through rescue, providing rehabilitation, rehoming, and spray and neutering campaigns. They are also raising awareness through education in local schools and improving public perceptions of the cities, towns, and countries in which they live. Now, this industry relies almost exclusively on public donations, and many women risk their livelihoods and in some cases, even their lives just to be a part of it. Funding helps to create jobs, it supports families and local businesses, and provides access to education and much needed mental health support. If you get chance, and look, I know times are hard, but if you get a chance, please just check out the Power of One website. I've put the details in the podcast description. And even just tell people about this organisation, this wonderful organisation, and what they are doing to help animals, and especially dogs. And if you know me, you know all of my dogs around the world. Now back to the podcast. A bit of a disclaimer, we have got some emotional scenes coming up, so definitely get the tissues ready. So I reached out to you, Mitch. I've known you for quite a while, right? Yeah. And I reached out to you and I said, would you come on my podcast, Genealogy Family History? And you said, yes, but you didn't know a lot, did you, about the family tree?
Yeah, I've never really known much apart from my direct
family, of course.
And I think because I have also known that my mum never knew who her dad was, I've never really wanted to ask too much because I never thought I'd get answers, I guess. But also, I was kind of wanting to answer questions that weren't necessarily directly affecting me. So I was like, is it really my place to ask? But
yeah.
I think now, as I've got older especially, I think it's like, why not know about your history and your ancestry? I think it's a beautiful thing, really. And it is what makes you, which is why I'm excited to talk.
So when we were speaking and you said that you didn't know who your dad was and you wanted to find him, I told you, well, I came round and I think we met in a car park and I put some of your spit.
That's quite dodgy, isn't it?
Oh, honestly, Mitch, you wouldn't want to know. Yeah. We met in a shopping centre car park and I got some of your spit and we sent off an ancestry DNA test.
Yeah.
Found your dad, Jackie.
Right.
How does that make you feel?
I could cry. It's a long time coming.
It's okay. This is good.
When you've grown up, like, feeling worthless for different reasons and some of the, like, the way my mum was with me growing up and the things that you know from her, it's just mad that I do have a dad. No matter what, I've got a dad. You know, and there's part of me, and it makes me wonder if some of my things, the traits, the things, my stubbornness, because growing up...
Oh my God, she's so stubborn.
Is she?
Jesus.
I've always been told I'm stubborn, and that's what keeps me going. Yeah.
You want to be stubborn.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just, it's knowing where you come from. It is a big part of my life.
So I know that you thought this already, obviously, because of his age, sadly, he's no longer with us, right? And I know that was something that we'd considered when we worked out the age of him.
Yeah.
But you took your ancestry DNA test and you had a really close cousin match. And that cousin match turns out to be a half sister.
Wow. Who's another sister.
Who's lovely.
Another sister.
And she sent me some information.
Right.
Tell you about your biological dad.
Oh my God, go out.
Breathe. Have a breather.
So she actually grew up with him and...
Yeah.
Wow.
So she actually said she was gutted when she found out that you didn't know him.
God.
And she doesn't believe that it was his decision not to have any contact with you.
Oh, right.
So. Because he was a man who was fair, believed in justice. He loved his local history, she said.
Wow.
He left school really young without any qualifications, but she said if it had been another era, he'd probably been an architect.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she said...
That is so mad, that, because I love all that.
Really?
Wow. I love grand designs and, you know, watching how things are made. And
he was very sort of socially conscious, so he was very aware that, you know, a lot of social issues in today's society are down to poverty, and he was very much aware of that. She said he was very bright. Even though he didn't particularly have a great education, he was very intelligent, a very intelligent man.
Wow.
I've got a picture of him. Do you want to see him?
Please.
Oh, wow. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm crying out of...
Yeah, it's relief, isn't
relief?
It? It's relief.
So she grew up with him, did she?
She did.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old is she?
She must be younger than me.
Yeah, she is younger than you. So there's also... he was married before he met this lady's mum. So there's another half sibling, and he also adopted a child as well.
You're joking.
Oh, wow.
No. Wow. So I've got a picture of him when he was younger, if you want to have a look, and then I've got another one of him slightly older. That's your dad, Jackie.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Flippy next.
Look. I feel like he's got your eyes.
Wow, he's got big ears.
You have big ears.
Do I?
Yeah.
Wow.
If you pass it back, Mitch, I've just got an older picture of him, which I can show you.
How old would he have been?
So about he would have 20. Been, I think, about, early 20s.
All right.
And then I've got another picture of you, of him, sorry, in later life.
Oh my God.
I think he looks like you.
Eyebrows.
I think he really looks like, look at that. That's your nose and some eyes.
Definitely that part.
when you take out his mouth.
Now I know why I'm receding.
Oh dear, I hope I don't have to get a hair transplant.
Did he live in
He lived in Leeds, his whole life.
Wow.
His whole life.
So I could have even passed his house when I went looking.
Now, this isn't the only mystery that I'm solving for you today. So we're wishing she never came, Mitch.
I know. Do me off. Can I ask how old he was first when he passed?
Of course, yeah. I've got a picture of his grave if you want to see it. I didn't know whether you would.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh.
Wow. And that's his dearly loved wife.
Mother and grandma. Oh, so he's got grandkids as well.
He
passed away June.
He passed on the 19th of November 1992, and he was 68 years old.
Right. Because I have this thing in my head as well about, like, I know my mum was, my mum was 70. No. Can't remember now because my head's a bit fuddled. But I look at, like, how long somebody's lived, and I was curious to how long my dad had lived. or still, if he was at that point, still here, to see my life expectancy. I kind of worked things out like that.
The thing is, though, I think for a lot of people, they do want to know that, don't they? You know,
yeah.
Especially like if you're adopted or you don't know your mummy's or your daddy's, it's things like medical stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think for people want to know. Yeah, I did want to know that side because of having cancer. And
so that's not the only mystery that I'm going to solve for you today.
Right.
So there was another part of your family tree that we didn't know a lot about. And that was on your mum's side.
Yeah.
And that was your mum's dad. What did you know then about your, or what were you told about your mum's dad?
Not really a lot. Only that her dad possibly could be a judge.
Ah. So she'd had like a brief...
She'd had a brief encounter with somebody.
Yeah. And he could be a judge.
And that he could have been a judge. But it's all hearsay again. Yeah. So I'm not really sure.
So I found him. Your mum's dad.
My mum's dad? Wow.
So he actually lived in Failsworth.
You're joking.
No, he wasn't a judge. He worked for like Ford Cars doing parts during the war. He was basically what we think of today as like a lorry driver.
Yeah.
That type of thing. So what happened was, and he's got a lovely family, by the way. So his daughter, which would be your mum's half sister, is still alive.
Wow.
And her son is lovely. He sent me loads of information about him for you.
Oh.
And he sent me a couple of pictures if you want to see them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, so this is my mum's dad.
So this is your granddad.
Wow. That is crazy.
You have a granddad?
I know. Do you know, I mean, I had a grandma of a fashion, but not.
So this is him when he was younger.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That is crazy. So that's my mum's. Is my mum's,
your mum's dad?
My mum's got a look, hasn't she, in that picture?
She does.
Wow,
she really does.
So this is.
So that's him just a bit later on in life.
Wow, I like how your genes get passed on.
Do you think if your mum had have known who her dad was and maybe had him in her life more, maybe of a stable figure compared to what she got with her mum? That knock-on effect of how she treated you.
Yeah.
I think as well, my mum has always had father figures. Mm. Like whether it was my Uncle Billy with the father figure before he passed, whether it was my neighbour of my childhood home, Arthur.
Yeah, Arthur.
He was called, and again, he was like a father figure.
Yeah.
So I think my mum was always like seeked for that father figure.
Yeah.
And again, I think... A dad, it's a sense of stability, isn't it? Like, I think stability normally comes more from, even though it's definitely not true, but the feeling of it comes more from your dad than it would your mum. Because in our eyes, as a kid, your dad's your protector and your mum is like your lover, you know?
Yeah.
It's that kind of like what you, even though it's the other way around in my house. And my dad's the most softest person ever.
Yeah.
But I think it's that it's when you see everyone else, whether it's your friends or your peers, and they have that kind of like the dad's this strong presence in their life. You do. It's like anything in society. You crave something that you don't always have. So I feel like that stability has probably the lack, or maybe the lack of, has impacted you throughout your life, where
I mean,
you've searched for stability, whether it's in someone or in something. Circular thing, isn't
well,
it?
And, especially like when I was growing up, I don't know if you're allowed to say the word bastard, but
yeah, you can.
I was many a time, numerous times, called a bastard in school.
Were you not, Jack?
You're not.
I know, but you get scars, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
So like you crave for something. And you just want to be part of of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many different forms of bullying, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Especially like today.
Crazy.
Can I just say thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Jackie, has that answered a few questions? How has it been for you? Because I think you had the most information really in the podcast.
Obviously, like, I feel I belong now. You know, I do belong, and it's nice. Even though I've cried, it's just, it's nice to know that, you know, and find out that your dad...
Do you think you want to meet your half-sister?
If she wanted to meet me, I would never, you know, step on her toes because I've lived without a dad in that sense. But it would be nice to see.
Yeah.
And even to ask more questions of, like, just about him. Yeah, and
definitely.
Everybody that I've contacted to do with your biological grandfather and your biological dad have been lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Really forthcoming with information.
Did they know about me?
No, they didn't know. And they didn't know in your granddad's case that he had had another child before. They figured it out through the DNA, but they didn't know.
Well,
now, I'm going to finish with a quick question that I ask all my guests. And I am conscious of time. Zoe's going to look at me and saying, come on, Michaela, I want to go home. If you could invite anybody from your family tree who's no longer with us for dinner tonight, who would it be? What would you cook? Mitch?
I have two different answers.
Go on.
For my mum's sake, I'd say her dad. Just so you could have a conversation with him. Even if he went again and never came back, you could answer some questions. But I would really like to speak to Edgar Percy Halliday.
Yeah.
Just, you could duet with him.
Yeah, or even just like, I'd love to, you know, those times where you'd love to take yourself out of the out times of we're in now and look at what was happening then. I would have loved to have seen like how people responded to him on stage. Yeah. And like that's, I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah, definitely.
How about you?
I think definitely that. Mm. And also my mum.
Yeah.
To have a few conversations with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what would you say to her?
I think I'd talk to her about her dad because I think.
Yeah.
I felt some of her pain, like when she used to talk about how she was brought up. So I do understand, but you know, you've got to make that difference, haven't you? So.
And I sometimes think the being the person that breaks the mold of trauma, it's not just breaking your own trauma. It's like it is going back a lot of the time and not fixing, but putting things in place where it's like, no, that this is this. And now for me, I know what I need to know. So I think breaking trauma, it's not just about yourself. It is about going back. So when you meet again.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you. And thank you for having me, Mum, as well.
Thank you.
So that is it for this week's podcast. Thank you so much again to the wonderful Mitch and his mum, Jack, for popping on and letting me delve into their family tree. A massive thank you to Becky and Whitney Antiques for supporting this podcast, and also to Sam at The Power of One. Thank you so much. I couldn't make this podcast without you, so thank you very much. I must also thank the researchers on this episode, which was Amy Boyd, Olivia Chapman, Ella Matthews, and Matilde Domane. I must also thank my production assistants, Javeria Salim and Lucy Stott. And a huge thank you to you guys for listening. Thank you so much. Thank you for all your messages, for your comments, for suggestions of guests I've had this week. So thank you. It's very much appreciated. Don't forget, if you want to get in contact with me, you can. You can do so via my website, which is www.michaelahume.com. Have a fantastic week researching, and I shall see you again soon.